6 months, maybe 6 weeks, a great many conversations with people both in New York and outside of New York on the state of the economy, on the question of taxes, on the question of capital expenditures, on the question of the position of the commercial banks, and also the position of the Savings and Loan Association. The general feeling is that the economy is in a very critical position in the sense that it's quite evenly balanced, that on the one hand there are a lot of factors that seem to be pushing it out of hand, and on the other it looks as if it may have gone over the hump now and headed the other way. The principal reason that is given for the latter viewpoint is that dealer stocks of automobiles have been increasing for a period now of something over 3 months, as I recall it. Installment credit has been declining to some extent, not large, but enough to indicate a change there. The general feeling is that this change has resulted from a falling off of automobile sales, both new ones and used ones, and that since the automobile industry is steel and rubber and textiles and glass and all of the metals, and it's also salesmen and financing, it's the largest single factor in the economy. And if it falls off to any appreciable extent, the feeling is it could carry the economy with it. Now, on the question of capital expenditures, I'm sure you know the holding back on capital expenditures, there are two very strong schools of thought on the subject. One is that since prices, for the most part, leaving aside trade restraints of one kind and another that are always present in the picture to a greater or lesser degree, that prices in a kind of an economy that we have are the result of the very sharp interaction of the forces of demand and supply. That historically, if you study prices, the only thing that has really been effective in holding them down is a plentiful supply of goods coming to the market. The largest figure that I've seen from any responsible source on the amount of capital expenditures proposed for 1966 is $61,750,000,000, approximately $62 billion. Now the figures on the GNP vary from approximately.
Now that's you're talking about the SEC Commerce Survey there.
I believe that's the source of.
Now doesn't 80 go a good deal above that?
Yes, Pierre Renfre of Lionel Eady thinks that they will be higher than that.
That's what I thought. I just want to get that clear. Go ahead now.
Yes, that's correct.
But you don't consider him responsible.
I consider him responsible. I just feel that in this case he's...
Well, you said the largest responsible figure you had was 61. That's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to see...
I wouldn't want to say he's irresponsible.
Yeah. Well, what you mean is that you believe this, the government figure more than any other figure.
Yes, sir. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. I'm just trying to understand you. I'm not trying to debate you because I don't know, but I had the impression that Eddie was considerably out of line. Now, the reason I raise this is I've had a check made, and I have it in my night reading last night, on the Eddie survey and on the... the most recent Glash report on capital expenditures, and that's why I raised that question. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you because you.
Well, you understand this is merely my opinion.
Yes, that's right.
You have far better information than I have, but in the conclusion I come to, I base it on these facts as I believe them to be. Now, the estimates on the GNP, and here Renfre would be somewhat higher also, The ones that I think the most of vary between approximately 727 and 735 billion dollars. Now, on this basis, the expenditures for plant and equipment are less than 9%, somewhere around 8.5% of the GNP. Now, if historically it has been available goods that have held down prices, which I think can be demonstrated, and if the amount of resources devoted to producing plant equipment that is designed to give us a larger outpouring of goods represents only this modest portion, then the argument goes that the pressure should be on the cutting back of consumption and not on cutting back on expenditures for plant and equipment. Now, it is true that there are some plant equipment expenditures that really do not add anything to the production of goods, as, for example, office buildings, service buildings, that kind of thing. And in our own company, we have cut those back because we've recently turned down bids that we already had outstanding because we didn't feel they added anything to the economy in the way of production and we shouldn't go ahead with them. Now, if this is so, it would tend to indicate that something, if anything needs to be done, which is an open question, but if anything did need to be done, it would point to doing something on the demand side. Now there, the question is whether it's income taxes or some other kind of tax. My own feeling about it is that income taxes operate too slowly. They're more difficult to dismantle, and the most effective thing in diminishing demand on the consumer side, and to do it immediately, is through excise taxes. Now, I know this is a difficult thing from many points of view, and particularly difficult in a year like 1966, but this does not affect the theory. Now, that is one view, and Mr. President, it happens to be the view that I take. I tell you this with all respect and all sincerity. I think that really there are so many concrete examples of how supply holds down prices that to do anything to cut back on the supply of goods is not the best way of approaching the problem. The other school of thought is, as you know, to try to cut back on everything in the hope that the total effect, cutting back on capital expenditures, on expenditures by consumers, tightening money and so on, will do the job. Now, turning to the financial field, I just by chance had a long talk with the president of one of the leading banks in the country yesterday, particularly on the subject of the relationship of the activities of the bank in their attempts to get certificates of deposit, that is time deposits, to the issuance of CDs on the one hand, and the problem of the Savings and Loan Associations on the other. Now, I regard the savings and loan situation in the country, Mr. President, as the weakest spot in our financial picture today. Many of the smaller banks, and indeed some of the larger ones too, have taken to the issuance of certificates of deposit in denominations that are quite small. One of your staff people will get out the Federal Reserve bulletin and show you the table on the size of the denomination. I think you will find that around 50%, probably a little more than 50% of the CDs are less than in a denomination of less than $1,000. Something around 37 or 38.
Wait just a minute, huh? Go ahead.
So something over around 37-38% are in the category of $499 and less. Now, what this means is that the banks have, as a fact, been able to drain amounts away from the savings and loan associations. Many savings and loan associations have lost a substantial amount of deposits. They continue to lose them. Some of them have engaged in what is described to me as perhaps a little reckless lending policies, and as a result, there is real concern that there might be some kind of a major failure in a savings and loan association in the country, and probably in California. That's the place that is California and Arizona are the two states that are most often spoken of as having SNLs in difficulty, and that if such a failure came, it would be very unsettling to confidence in the financial setup in the country. Now, if I may add one more point on that, in the commercial banking field, where you have an institution that is a member of the FDIC and gets into difficulty, there is a very easy and very convenient mechanism for pulling out the good assets of the bank, merging the bank with another sound bank, and cleaning up the situation with no problems or very little publicity and certainly no loss of confidence. There is no such mechanism available in the savings and loan association field, so that the consequences of an SNL getting in trouble would be far greater than would be the case of a commercial bank. Now, this generally is the way the thing looks to me from the discussions I've had.
All right, now that's the analysis of what's happening. What's your solution?
Well,
back to the first one on the economy. I gather that you want to consider the attainable or the possible or the likely or the what you could possibly achieve. There's no use of saying, well, we ought to do so and so if you haven't got a vote for it.
I understand that, yes.
And I think that's a big part of the picture. I looked at the controls and I've looked at the taxes. I've looked at the reduction of expenditure. The latter seems to be the more realistic, more likely to bring about. If you, as you say, you whenever you cut some capital expenditure, you may cut some of the competitive thing that you need, and certainly cut your exports, and maybe cut your supply, and contribute to increased prices rather than reduce them.
Mr. President, there's one other thing that subject I'm going to approach with a certain amount of diffidence. I pass it on to you, not as my own view, but as the views of others. I regard it as a very important thing, and since you want me to tell you what I know, I'm going to tell you this. Many of the people who are talking about this subject are saying that the principal difficulty at the present time is the fact that there is so much uncertainty. There is the feeling that there's uncertainty in Washington, and that there is not a strong and a steady, solid hand on this situation. Now, the thing that they point to all the time is the uncertainty with regard to taxes. Other things are pointed to, but this is the major one. And the conclusion that always is drawn is that if we could only get a categorical statement that we are not going to propose an increase in taxes for 6 months, or we are going to propose an increase in taxes tomorrow,